Welcome to Augmented Humanity. Our guests are modern explorers working at the intersection of technology and the humanities. They help us to understand ourselves and the worlds we create in this digital age. They are thinkers, creators, makers, and academics working in diverse fields like history, the visual arts, communications, and comparative religion. I'm your host, Craig Goldsmith.
I'm your host, Ellen Dornan.
On this program, we're joined by artist and educator Agnes Chavez, who explores the interrelationship between art, science, technology, and nature as a process and tool for social change. As an artist, her work focuses on data visualization, light, sound, and space. As a curriculum developer, she applies the latest art, science, and technological innovations to youth programming and education. She is a founding member of the Paseo Festival and the founder of the STEM Arts Lab. The lab's STEM Arts curriculum tool is an online platform that complements real-world science and art festivals with STEAM activities and resources. She is also the developer of the SUBE multisensory language curriculum for teaching Spanish and English to kids through art, music, and games.
Thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today, Agnes. I wanted to pick apart a little bit the art of collaboration. Some of your work started out as sort of artist installations, and it seems like you've expanded more and more into doing community work, to working with students, providing resources and materials and activities to kids homeschooling all over, way beyond Taos. So tell me a little bit about where you see collaboration fitting into art and science education.
I would say that collaboration is really an art form. I really see it as an art form. It's been there all along. Even when I, very early on, when I developed the SUBE language curriculum, I was doing collaborations there, working with musicians to develop the music, bringing the kids to the high school to hear the ranchera music being played. Always, I integrate different sectors of the community and do community outreach through education. It never, ever for me is an isolated unit, right? And in terms of how it applies to the art, science, and technology, it's even more critical because the way technology advances every second, there's a new update, a new app, a new learning program, a new conflict between browsers or whatever. It's never ending. And then you see all these exciting tools that you want to use. You want to use them all. You want VR. Now there's MR and AR and XR. And it's just, yes, 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 give it all. I want to do them all. And the thing is, you can't. You can't do it all yourself. And I would have to select one and then study it deeply to really do it myself. And that's not the way my brain works. The purpose is to create connection with people and create something that requires a lot more than just one program could fulfill. I remember the day when I decided I was going to get into new media arts, because remember, I'm graduated in 84 before there was even World Wide Web. I remember my son was like middle school and I had to decide whether I was going to go back and get my master's in new media arts. And you know what? That's when I said, there's another way to do this. And I said, collaborate, because I have lots of ideas. They just are a dime a dozen for me in my head. It's like, how are you going to realize them and realize them fast so that you can move on to the next idea? And collaboration is the best way to do that. So over the years, I've just developed strategies for how to collaborate. And I've learned, things that worked and didn't work. And the art of collaboration takes a lot. Learning how to work with people and how do you identify the right person? How do you know which program to use and therefore which person is the best for that program? On and on, there's a lot to it. And that's what I've really been doing all these years.
Well, and there's the part that is, how do you get people to collaborate with you? And I imagine that the artist-scientist collaboration is particularly fraught because of maybe judgment about how seriously you're taking the work as an artist.
What really, I think, helped is that I have always been an artist/educator. And scientists can relate to education. So when I approached CERN, it was not for art. It was for education. It was for STEM Arts Lab. It was because I was looking for a physicist at CERN that could be my mentor and work with me to develop this project, which is called Projecting Particles, which is the kids use projection art to explore particle physics and communicate particle physics concepts. The woman who started the arts residency at CERN, Ariana Kirk, when I was working for Isaiah, I invited her to be a keynote speaker for the education program, and she came and talked about arts at CERN. And she said, whenever you're in the area in Geneva, call me for a cup of coffee. So I did. And I met with her, and she's wonderful, of course. And I said, you know, I'm looking for a physicist to work with me on this project. And she said, I know the perfect person, Dr. Steven Goldfarb. And I've been working with Steve ever since on this project. And so because we had already worked for years, they've accepted the Projecting Particles project. They acknowledge it. It is meeting all of the scientific accuracy because I don't do anything without checking. Steve is used to getting emails from me constantly. It's about scientific literacy and so forth, and that helps because they know that I'm always concerned about that and working on that, and that they're going to have a say.
With that in mind, you talked about the kids doing this kind of work. So who are these kids that are using the STEM Arts curriculum?
STEM Arts Lab is the organization. So we do workshops, I develop online curriculum, I do collaborations with artists, many things happen within that.
So who are these kids?
So, you know, it started here in Taos, where I live and where I've been based for 30 plus years. And so Taos has always been my guinea pig. So the kids here are my guinea pigs. But, you know, throughout, I've also done workshops at the Hispanic Cultural Center. So I would say all of northern New Mexico, Santa Fe and Albuquerque. And then I took the program to Havana, where I worked with Cuban kids, and they participated in it. And now I'm developing an international exchange program, and I'm going to be working with kids all over the world, Guadalajara, Mexico, Lisbon, Portugal. We're talking to Tunisia. So eventually, through the online virtual platform world that we live in now, I'll be able to really bring this to so many more kids than was possible before. So I work with fourth grade through 12th grade. So it's middle and high, but I sometimes go down because I love fourth and fifth graders. And I've had teachers that are like, my kids can do it. So I started to fourth graders.
How do you actually connect with them? I mean, in Taos, I see where you might go into the local school and you probably have those long relationships at this point. But you were talking about these other groups of kids that are now all over the world. So how do they actually end up intersecting with you, or their teachers, I guess, intersecting with you to start with? I'm presuming it probably starts with the teachers.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because I consider that one of my strategies is that I'm always talking about the kids because the kids are the ones that are going to benefit. But really, it's also the teachers. I don't have a program like after school for just kids. I actually work with schools because that's how you can have more impact. So if you work with one teacher, that teacher has, what, 20 to 30 kids every year. So I did this with the SUBA curriculum, too. You know, I developed a teacher's curriculum. And STEM arts really is very teacher focused in that sense. So through the schools, the kids get access to it. And then I tried to include as many schools as possible. I mean, in the beginning, I would just approach schools directly. But the other way I've always done it is through festivals. So with festivals, like Isaiah was the first festival where I brought this programming. Before that, I didn't do festivals. I was just working directly with schools. And now you can reach a lot more through a festival. And in Taos, since I've been doing the Paseo for 5 or 6 years, I was able to like really get every school in the district into it. Because every year we do the same thing, and it was a certain time it was going to happen, and they put it in their schedule. And so we really had impact over that 6 year period that I was there. So we're talking 10 schools in the district and one teacher group. So it usually be a science teacher and an art teacher or the STEAM teacher. It could be any subject. It didn't have to be art. Any teacher that wanted to do it could do it. And so that's another way. And then now a new way that I'm doing it is through the International Exchange Program, working with the U.S. embassies. And the U.S. embassies identify the schools. But again, schools. And then once they find the school, they always find the champion teacher, which is another strategy. You can't just offer it in a flyer and say, anybody want to do this? No, no, no. You got to find that champion teacher, the one that gets it. And one of the teachers I want to mention is Megan Avina Bowers, who I worked with for years in Taos, and now she's in Santa Fe. And I just have to text her and go, oh my God, I got this great idea. We're going to do this. And this just sounds crazy. And she's like, yes, yes, sign me up. These teachers are the ones that have to find a way to bring these big projects, interdisciplinary projects, you know, into the 20th century classroom with rows of desks. and all the different subjects. If you're the art teacher, how are you going to teach science and all of this? And if you're the science teacher, how are you going to bring art into your class? They have to resolve all of that. So it's a collaboration with the teacher as well. There's no way I could do this without the buy-in and the passion of the teacher.
Well, and it's sort of an interesting time also to have this sort of curricula out there, because I know so many teachers are casting around right now, this year in 2020, for ready-to-go tested curricula that they can deploy in an online virtual environment.
Yeah, the STEM Arts Curriculum Tool was started in 2012, but I do believe that now is when it's really going to be used because of that. Before, one of the main challenges of implementing these kinds of programs in the school was teachers not being used to accessing things virtually, technology, and so forth. But now...
It's a job requirement.
I have a captive audience.
Yeah, totally.
So, like, yes, I'm catching up. I can do it. I can work with them now. So I did my first professional development training with 10 different schools and like 18 teachers. And at the end, they told me, thank you for these resources. So I think it's a good time.
Well, and I think there's an important aspect of engaging students with learning that they're going to own. Like, they need to be self-directed to a certain extent. It seems like some of the work that they can do through the STEM Arts Lab would engage a student in that intrinsically motivated learning.
Exactly. That's one of the things that I have always focused on, is that when I say science, when I talk about sci art or the science in STEAM, I'm not talking about just textbook science. Okay, that's another thing I want to clarify. I'm talking about cutting edge, cool science that I think is pretty cool. Like, for example, the latest one I'm into is quantum dots. I'm working with a chemist that works in nanotechnology apply to solar panels, but she also is really interested in collaborating with artists, right? So her specialty is seeing how quantum dots can improve the efficiency of a solar cell. So I started to look around and I found this do-it-yourself through YouTube, make your own quantum dots with a microwave and some like household products, right? Sugar and vinegar, whatever. I said, test this out. Let me know if it works. So she tested it out. She showed me the first look. You can make quantum dots. It glows. And so we're going to incorporate quantum dots in the next workshop. So these are really cool things, you know, and the kids that have participated, they are really super jazzed. They are super jazzed. You know, you got to provide stuff that's real, not just textbook stuff.
What I've seen with some of the students participating as part of the Paseo Festival is that students really took the opportunity to use these platforms or these technologies in whatever ways, not necessarily to explore hard science, but as a way of sort of incorporating data or science into telling their own stories. And I saw kids expressing advocacy and activism, and I saw kids talking about their land and their water, and I saw kids exploring their neighborhoods and their immediate environs through these different sort of technology-based artistic platforms. When you're working with students, do you encourage them to run with it? Do you see it firing people's imaginations?
Yeah. In the case of when it's done through these champion teachers who implement, I also see what they're doing with it. Like, for example, Nat Evans over at Taos Charter School, who's a science teacher, works with Katie Willow, who's an art teacher. When they learned from Christopher Chahosky how to use these dynalite microscopes, which allowed them to take leaves and things and see them in a microscope, and then they created these kaleidoscopic images from them, I saw how, like, they went on to do other things with that microscope. And every year now, they include it into their work. So it just lives on. Or when we brought Kyle DePue and Anna Osbeck of the Illuminator Collective, who were the ones that were part of that Occupy Wall Street movement, and they were the ones that did those 1% projections onto the buildings. We brought him in to do a workshop with Megan at TISA, and the kids learned the techniques that they applied, called urban guerrilla projection techniques. And they learned it. They learned how to do urban projection, which uses technology and art and cinema, light and story, combines it into an urban landscape for social change, right? So they took it in 2016, that workshop. And then on their own in 2017, when Megan's students were worried about defunding the National Endowment for the Arts, she encouraged her students to find a constructive outlet for their anger, and they went back to what they learned from Kyle and Anna about peaceful political expression, and they created images, they wrote statements, they used projection mapping, video and rapid response meme generation, and then they showed up on the plaza with equipment, so I had helped them to purchase the equipment for this workshop, so they had their little tub that they could take to do their projection art, and so they arrived with their tub, I just showed up to support them, and they projected all of these, you know, one after another, other slides of this kid's artwork, which was just simply done with markers and colored pencils, but it looked big, you know, on the buildings. And then they had a speaker with music. I'm meeting some of them that are now in middle school and have had it every year. And I didn't have that when I was growing up, exposure to this kind of art. What are their minds going to be like? They tell me they see possibilities now that they couldn't see before. It blows all our minds when we see this kind of art. So with kids, this is going to be normal for them. This is their world.
I think that's a really wonderful and positive note to end this segment on, Agnes. Thank you so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure to talk to you both.
If you would like more information about Agnes and her work, you can visit stemarts.com or agneschavez.com. You have been listening to Augmented Humanity, which is a program of the New Mexico Humanities Council, produced in partnership with KUNM-FM. You can visit us online and find out more about our programs at nmhumanities.org. Our theme music comes courtesy James Whiten, and we've had production assistance from Tristan Klum.